I'm Eric Rosales. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly. An historic day for Pope Leo XIV as he takes possession of the Papal Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. A meeting of love. President Donald Trump rallies support for the big, beautiful bill with lawmakers as he tries to get major elements of his agenda passed. Heading down the highway, if you're hitting the road Memorial Day, you may have noticed gas prices are lower. We'll explain. Plus, sending a message. Learn about a unique way the faithful can communicate with Pope Leo XIV. These stories and much more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for being with us. Our top story tonight, President Donald Trump meets with Republicans on Capitol Hill. The focus, the massive reconciliation bill. He spoke privately for at least an hour trying to unite House Republicans on the multi-trillion dollar package. When it was over, he came out and told reporters that there was a tremendous unity and, quote, a lot of love in the room. But Democrats argue that the package is a little more than a giveaway to the wealthy, and not all Republicans are on board. Let's check in with White House correspondent Owen Jensen with the very latest. Owen.
Eric, good evening to you. Today, President Donald Trump told reporters, "I think we're going to have a big victory." But tonight, it's not clear yet if he was able to seal the proverbial deal.
Mr. President!
President Donald Trump arrives on Capitol Hill telling reporters,
We're going to have a bill, the one big beautiful bill I think it's going to be. It's the biggest bill ever passed, and we got to get it done. Tremendous tax cuts for people, tremendous incentives, tremendous regulation cuts, all these regulations that are so horrible.
And he warns,
or you'll get a 68% tax increase. And if that happens, I mean, what Republican could vote for that to happen? Because there wouldn't be a Republican much longer. They would be knocked out so fast.
When his visit was over, the president again spoke to reporters, defending the bill as
incredible for Medicare. The only thing we're going to leave it exactly as it was, other than for obviously waste, fraud, and abuse. We're strengthening it.
But Democratic lawmakers lined up to slam it, including the hour of the day.
In the dead of night, House Republicans are working to ram through their agenda to kick millions of Americans off of health insurance and to take food assistance from families who need it most.
We know what's in it. It has the largest cut to health care in U.S. history, about $1 trillion.
Make no mistake, this is not fiscal responsibility. This is not belt tightening. This is a giveaway.
With all Democrats opposed, Republicans can handle only a few defections from their slim House majority. The GOP says the stakes are too high.
House Republicans just finished hearing from our president, and he delivered a clear message. And that message was, get the job done.
I'm confident we're going to get there this week, get the votes that we need to get this thing passed, because it does the things we said we were going to do.
The package is 1,116 pages long. If the bill passes the House this week, it then, of course, moves on to the Senate. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you so much, Owen. Secretary of State Marco Rubio made his first public testimony to Congress since his confirmation as America's top diplomat. He defended the Trump administration's plan to cut the foreign affairs budget by nearly 50%. The secretary told the Senate Foreign Affairs Relations Committee, shakeups at the State Department are necessary for the future success of American foreign policy.
You're not going to like all the changes, but I want you to know what the intent of the changes are. It is not to dismantle American foreign policy, and it is not to withdraw us from the world. Because I just hit 18 countries in 18 weeks. That doesn't sound like much of a withdrawal. And that isn't about saving money. It is about ensuring that we are delivering to our people what they deserve, a foreign policy that makes America stronger, safer, and more prosperous.
Senator Jeanne Shaheen, the lead Democrat on the committee, criticized the State Department for withholding aid to Ukraine.
Taking away a commitment to continue to help the Ukrainians with intelligence sharing and with military equipment and arms that they need to help fight this war.
Well, that continues. There was a pause for 1 week. All of that was restarted.
That was intelligence sharing, though, but it doesn't cover the equipment and arms.
Oh, absolutely. That program has not been rescinded. They continue to receive arms.
Republicans on the committee have backed the changes Secretary Rubio is making. He's currently also serving as President Trump's acting national security advisor. He faces more questions from lawmakers at a hearing tomorrow. The Justice Department has charged New Jersey Congresswoman LaMonica McIver with assaulting law enforcement officers during a chaotic protest outside a federal immigration detention center earlier this month. She was one of three lawmakers involved in the incident and says ICE officials escalated the confrontation.
They caused the confrontation. Homeland came and, you know, caused this chaos that we see. It was a very tense situation, but it could have been, you know, easily not. It could have easily not happened. They had every opportunity to not allow this to happen. It was very unnecessary, and it just, once again, we were there to do our jobs.
Democrats reacted angrily to the announcement, claiming McIver had done nothing wrong and the Justice Department was trying to intimidate Congress.
The members of Congress, Bonnie Watson, Coleman, LaMonica McIver, and Rob Menendez were the ones who were subjected to overly aggressive behavior by people who are weaponizing the authority of the federal government.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has said that she will likely face disciplinary action. Some GOP members even want her arrested. The U.S. Capitol Police Chief is speaking out after the Trump administration has agreed to pay a $5 million settlement to the family of Ashley Babbitt. She was the U.S. Air Force veteran who was shot and killed by Capitol Police while breaching the Capitol on January 6, 2021. Chief Tom Manger says, quote, he's extremely disappointed with the decision and adds his officer involved in the shooting has been cleared of any wrongdoing, and this sends the wrong message to law enforcement across the country. Well, the British government has suspended free trade talks with Israel over what it calls egregious policies in Gaza.
Say now to the people of Israel, we want, I want a strong friendship with you based on shared values, with flourishing ties between our people and societies. We are unwavering in our commitment to your security and to your future, to countering the very real threat from Iran, the scourge of terrorism, and the evils of anti-Semitism. But the conduct of the war in Gaza is damaging our relationship with your government. Yeah.
This announcement follows comments by Prime Minister Keir Starmer, who called children's suffering in Gaza utterly intolerable. This as dozens are dead after yet another night of Israeli airstrikes in Gaza. Gaza health officials say two of the strikes in northern Gaza hit a family home and a school which was being used as a shelter. This comes after a major operation was launched by Israel to pressure Hamas to release any remaining hostages. Israeli officials also say they are now allowing more trucks carrying aid into Gaza, much-needed supplies for the people in the region. Meanwhile, over in Iran, its supreme leader is speaking out on negotiations.
I advise the American side taking part in the indirect talks to try to avoid talking nonsense. That they say we won't allow Iran to enrich uranium is way out of line. Nobody is waiting for permission from others. The Islamic Republic has a policy, a method that it will keep pursuing.
This comes as indirect talks between Iran and the United States reportedly press forward, even as the Supreme Leader expressed doubt about the outcome with the United States regarding a nuclear deal. And of course, we will continue to follow the latest developments there. Meanwhile, new sanctions have been placed on Russia by European allies of Ukraine. It follows a phone call between President Trump, that is, and Vladimir Putin, which failed to produce any meaningful concessions from Russia.
Well, it seems quite obviously there's a lack of serious intent on the Russian side on actually engaging into negotiations.
We see that Russia actually doesn't want to end this war. They are still on the same track that they want to get at least these four regions plus Crimea, and they will not stop.
Next package of sanctions must be hit increasingly in the core of the financial resources of Russia. So, of course, we know that gas and oil, but especially oil, is absolutely one of the main resource and source also of revenue.
In a post on X, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky wrote, "It is obvious that Russia is trying to buy time in order to continue its war and occupation. We are working with our partners to ensure that pressure forces Russians to change their behavior. Sanctions matter, and I am grateful to everyone making them more biting for those responsible for this war." Well, today, talking to reporters on Capitol Hill, the president shed more light on possible peace talks between Ukraine and Russia being held at the Vatican.
Pope Leo suggested it, and if he'd like to have the talks at the Vatican, I can't think of a better place. I like it. This is a pretty good place, too, come to think of it.
Yesterday, in a post on Truth Social, President Trump said that the Vatican would be, quote, very interested in hosting the negotiations. Meanwhile, in Rome, another important step for Pope Leo XIV as he takes possession of the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. By taking possession of the Basilica, the Pope assumes his authority and pastoral responsibilities over the church. St. Paul outside the walls was built over the location traditionally held to be St. Paul's tomb. In a brief homily, Pope Leo talked about St. Paul's conversion and how the love of God transforms us all if we accept it.
When the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he did not take away his freedom, but gave him the opportunity to make a decision, to choose an obedience that would prove costly and entail interior and exterior struggles, which Paul proved willing to face. Salvation does not come about by magic, but by a mysterious interplay of grace and faith, of God's prevenient love, and of our trusting and free acceptance.
It's important to note that St. Paul outside the walls is one of four major basilicas that the Pope takes possession of. He's already taken possession of St. Peter at the Vatican on Sunday during his inaugural Mass and takes possession of both St. Mary Major and St. John Lateran this Sunday. Well, we still have a lot more to come on EWTN News Nightly, including a look at some of the devastation from widespread storms across the central U.S. And we'll take a look at how far gas prices have fallen in just a few years. Stay with us. Welcome back. Another round of severe weather plowed through the central United States. This marks the fourth day of tornadoes, thunderstorms, and even heavy rain that has killed more than two dozen people. The storms are ripping apart buildings, thousands of homes have been destroyed, and hundreds of thousands of people are without power. The National Weather Service says the region can expect even more dangerous weather in the coming days. And for more on that, let's turn to Jared Bryson, President and CEO of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Jared, thank you so much for being with us. First off, what are you seeing on the ground there, and where are you exactly?
Yeah, Eric, so I'm about, right now, my office is about two blocks from the disaster zone here in North City, St. Louis, where an EF3 tornado ripped through really one of the poorer parts of our community.
Wow.
And it is total devastation. About 5,000 structures have been impacted or destroyed. And it came through so quick. People went from a house to nothing in a matter of minutes. Snap power lines. It looks like a war zone, and trying to find your way around, it's pretty devastating right now.
Tell our viewers a little bit about what Catholic Charities is doing in the area for those impacted by the storms.
Yeah, so Catholic Charities, we are here to really help be a long haul to walk with folks. So right now, we're a part of the coordination, helping the city and emergency managers really coordinate the efforts on the ground. Our director of disaster, Ben Perrin, has been working tirelessly with the city of St. Louis. Mayor Spencer has been doing a fantastic job, and the governor, Governor Kehoe, has done a great job at trying to help move resources and connect up. Catholic Charity has been integral to that process, and then we're also here as a part of the long-term recovery of the community. So when all of everybody's attention turns to something else, we are still here as Catholic Charities for the next several years so the community returns back.
Now, have you heard of any church properties that have been damaged or even massives that had to be postponed due to the storms?
Yeah, so there have been church properties. There's been a lot of properties that have been damaged. I mean, even our own agency had some effects, roofs tearing off some of our buildings and some of our service providers. Right across the way here is the new cathedral of the Archdiocese of St. Louis, and they were without power. While no destruction, basically more power outage. But there's been some really widespread damage. It's about a mile wide was the tornado that came through North City.
Well, I tell you, our prayers definitely go out to you. And if our viewers would like to help monetarily, where can they go? What can they do?
Yeah, the best way to really help out this time is to go to www.ccstl.org and click on the give or donate button, and we'll be able to help those in need.
CCSTL.org. Will do. Well, Jared Bryson, thank you so much. President and CEO of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. God bless you all.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
In other news, we have some good news. If you're hitting the road in the next few days for this Memorial Day weekend, filling up your vehicle will be cheaper than in recent years. According to GasBuddy, the average price for a gallon of gasoline is expected to be around $3.08. Now, that's the lowest this time of the year since 2021 and way lower than just 3 years ago when it was $4.60. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, sending a message. Advances in technology allows the faithful to reach out to Pope Leo XIV. Plus, a new chapter in the life of the church. We preview a book on Pope Leo that's about to hit bookshelves. A tech company that works with tens of thousands of parishes around the United States is offering the faithful a way to speak to Pope Leo XIV without having to travel to Rome.
Regina Cherry, let's all pray.
How cute is that? The eCatholic website is asking the faithful to download video messages welcoming the new pope. The response so far includes, as you saw, children singing in Latin, plus people offering prayers and best wishes to the first American pope. EWTN's Catherine Hadro sat down with the CEO of the tech company.
For more, we turn to Jason Janes, CEO of eCatholic. Jason, thanks for joining us. Why did you start this initiative? And I understand it was in the works well before we knew our new pope would be an American pope.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Catherine. So my company, eCatholic, our company, eCatholic, focuses on providing digital tools to Catholic dioceses, parishes, schools, and ministries to help them to engage their flock. And so we're always looking for opportunities to set an example using our tools. And we were in a marketing brainstorming meeting the first day the conclave started. One of our team members said, wouldn't it be a really great and cool initiative if we could let Catholics all over the world share their blessings with the new pope once that pope was elected? And we had no idea that just 24 hours later there'd be white smoke and we'd already have a new pope.
Wow, that's really exciting. Our viewers saw a snippet of one of the videos earlier in the show. What has the response been like, Jason? And what are some of the more creative or heartwarming messages that have been submitted?
Pope Leo, count on our prayers and love and support.
Congratulations, Holy Father. Viva Papa.
Yeah, the response has been absolutely incredible. I think we've got responses now from every continent across the globe in many different languages. And, you know, I think the thing that stands out to me is, once again, it just reinforces the universal nature of our church. And even though we're an American-based company providing this opportunity, we've had folks speaking in Gaelic with blessings to the Pope from Ireland. We've had folks from South America and even in Peru giving their blessings. We've had a wonderful, I think you're showing the video of the three girls that shared their blessing, and some folks have sang the Regina Caeli. It's been absolutely amazing.
And can you clarify, how can you make sure that you can get these messages to the Vatican and to Pope Leo XIV?
Absolutely. It's very straightforward. All you have to do if you want to participate is go to eCatholic.com/Pope and you'll see the instructions there to share your message. We're going to keep the submissions open through the end of this month, and then we'll be reaching out with the montage, probably first over social media, since Pope Leo has a presence there, mm-hmm. and also trying to reach out to work with the Vatican media and others to get these messages in front of him.
Excellent. And Jason, just in our final moment, you already kind of hit on it, but for those who aren't familiar with eCatholic, what is it that your ministry does?
Yeah, I think the easiest thing to say is we provide all the tools that a diocese, church, ministry, or school need to reach out and touch and engage their flock in the digital world. Mm.
Jason James, CEO of eCatholic, the platform that is allowing the faithful to send video messages to Pope Leo XIV. Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you, Catherine. Have a great day.
You too.
How cool is that? Yes. A new book from EWTN on the life and election of Pope Leo XIV is out tomorrow. Leo XIV, Portrait of an American Pope, examines the Chicago-born pontiff's life and his early decisions that signaled his desire to place himself within the church's tradition. It is written by Dr. Matthew Bunsen, vice president and editorial director of EWTN News. He recently told us why it was so important to have the book available as soon as possible.
As you know, anytime we have a new Holy Father, the world is very curious about him. They want to know as much as they can, as quickly as they can. And one of the things that we realized many years ago, we saw that with Pope Benedict XVI in 2005 and Pope Francis in 2013, is that many of the things that you read or watch in secular media either isn't inaccurate or is sort of a deliberate misrepresentation. So what we want to do with this book is to offer a first portrait of the life, formation, and journey of Robert Francis Prevost.
And Leo XIV, Portrait of an American Pope, is available tomorrow. Just visit EWTN's religious catalog for more information. It's on our website, EWTN.com. And Leo XIV long held a deep devotion to Our Lady of the Good Counsel, and the title of the Virgin Mary closely tied to Augustinian roots. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Settegrin tells us more about the shrine devoted to Our Lady of the Good Counsel in Italy.
In the small Italian town of Genazzano, just 30 miles southeast of Rome, there is a miraculous painting of the Madonna del Buon Consiglio, Our Lady of Good Counsel, enshrined inside an Augustinian church. Saints like St. John the 23rd, St. John Paul II, and St. Teresa of Calcutta have venerated the icon. The late Pope Benedict XVI even had an image of the icon placed in the Vatican Gardens in 2009. Throughout history, many popes have come to the shrine to ask Our Lady of Good Counsel for advice. Pope Urban VIII in the 17th century asked that the plague in Rome cease. Pope Pius IX in the 19th century came to ask Our Lady's help for the First Vatican Council, and Pope John the 23rd for help with the Second Vatican Council. It is also here that Pope Leo XIV made his first trip outside of the Vatican as Pope. Pope Leo's connection to Our Lady of Good Counsel goes back decades and runs deep in his life as an Augustinian. Robert Prevost began his journey with the Order of St. Augustine in St. Louis, Missouri, in the province of Our Mother of Good Counsel, where he made his first vows in 1978 and solemn vows in 1981. After defending his doctoral thesis in 1987, he was appointed Vocation Director and Missions Director of the Augustinian province of Our Mother of Good Counsel in Olympia Fields, Illinois, before being elected Provincial Prior of the province with the same name in Chicago in 1999. Our Lady of Good Counsel accompanied Pope Leo throughout his ministry, from his first steps in the Augustinian order to his leadership roles within the province. And now, as Pope, he seems intent on keeping her close as a guiding presence during his pontificate. But what makes this icon unique, and why has it spread such an international devotion? On the site where the Basilica of Our Lady of Good Counsel stands today, there was already an ancient church built in the 11th century called Santa Maria del Buon Consiglio. In the 15th century, a pious widow named Petruccia committed all her possessions to rebuild the church. Her funds were insufficient, and her fellow citizens began to mock her. But the pious woman answered them, "My children, do not worry, for before I die, the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Augustine will complete this church." According to tradition, not long after Petruccia's prediction, on April 25th, 1467, the Feast of St. Mark, at the time of Vespers, an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary miraculously appeared. The townspeople suddenly heard the church bells, and a mysterious cloud descended on the unfinished wall of the church. In front of the people, the cloud dissipated, and a beautiful fresco, no more than 18 inches square, of the Virgin Mary and the Christ Child was revealed. It was widely believed that it had been miraculously transported from a church in Albania just prior to its invasion by the Ottomans. The population was left stunned, not only by the extraordinary event, but also by the countless miracles that occurred there afterward. 161 were recorded in 1467 alone. With Pope Leo XIV now entrusting his pontificate to her maternal care, the Church awaits with hope and faith to see how Our Lady of Good Counsel will continue to intercede, guide, and pour out her graces in this new chapter of the Church's journey. In Rome, Benedictia de Grian, EWTN News Nightly.
Well, we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Eric Rosales. Have a good night. God bless y buena suerte.